places in a point. So as a set, it's the set of A times sigma, where A is an integer and sigma is the unique simplex you can write in a point. So sigma is the map from delta n into a point, which is the only such map there is. Okay, so I don't even need to tell you what it is because there is only one. The only thing that I want to do slightly different is I want to give it a name. This is the n-dimensional simplex, right? They're not all the same, in fact, because, you know, the images are always a point, but the domains are different. This is an n-dimensional simplex. If you change the index, it will be an n-1 dimensional simplex. So this is Cn of a point. So if I want to compute the boundary map, all I need to do is to compute the boundary of that one sigma n. The boundary of that one sigma n, by definition, is sum, I go from 0 to n, of minus 1 to the I, times the map which goes E0 up to En for getting EI, followed by sigma n. But, you know, this thing, whatever it is, it's an n-1 dimensional simplex. Okay, there is only one n-1 dimensional simplex. So this, no, I mean, I don't need to think at all. This has to be sigma n-1 because there is nothing else. Okay, so this is sum, I goes from 0 to n, minus 1 to the I, sigma n-1. But now I can, since all of these terms are proportional to the same vector, this one, I can just pull it out of the parentheses. And then all I have to compute is this sum of minus 1 to the I. And I wrote it here in summary form. So it's 1 minus 1 plus 1 minus 1. And this is sometimes 1 and sometimes 0, depending on the parity of n. Okay? And after that, I think everything was clear. So the moment I know that this map is 1, and this map is 0, and this map is 1, and so on, then computing the kernels and computing the images is clear. Is this okay? Good. So that was the first example. The next example is, suppose X is path connected. I want to compute H0 of X. Okay? So what's H0 of X? Okay, by definition, this is Z0 of X modulo P0 of X. So I want a second to understand each of these spaces. So what's Z0 of X? Okay, so first of all, what is C0 of X? So C0 of X is the set of linear combinations of zero-dimensional simplexes in X. A zero-dimensional simplex is a map from a point into X, a map from the zero-dimensional standard simplex to X. So it's a map from a point into X. A map from a point into X is just a point of in X. It's the same as its image, right? You can identify it with its own image. So the set of simplest zero-dimensional simplexes is simply the set of points of X. So this is the set of all linear combinations, sum ai xi, such that ai is an integer, and xi is simply a point in X. Okay? So sort of a typical element in C0 of x will be a combination. I take this point with 7 times, I take this point negative 3 times, I take this point 2 times. Okay? Good. The map del, the boundary map, going from C0 to C-1, well, I never had a C-1. I declared it to be 0. So the map del 0 is simply the 0 map. I mean, I made this declaration at some point, I should have made it earlier. But that just means that everything is in the kernel. Okay? So C0 is equal to C0, and is simply equal to the same thing as that. Just every combination of points is a cycle, is an element of Z0. What is C1? So C1 is, again, formally, it's the set of maps from the one-dimensional simplex into X. The one-dimensional simplex is, well, it's a line. I could use a different line if I wanted, okay? So C1 is simply the set of linear combination AI gamma I, where AI is an integer and gamma I is a path. So again, the standard path is to go from E0 to E1, but equally well, I could have gone from 0, 1 into X. What's the boundary of gamma I? The boundary of gamma I is gamma composed with the map, that basically with the right end, minus gamma at the left end. Okay? So it's basically gamma of 1 minus gamma of 0. Maybe it's the other way around. That just depends how I identify 0, 1 with the standard simplex. Okay, it depends which direction I go. It doesn't matter. Okay? Therefore, what is H0 of X? So H0 of X is the space spanned by points in X modulo the relation that if two points modulo B0, modulo B0, right? So modulo the image of C1. So modulo declaring that such things are equal to 0. Okay? So modulo X minus Y is set to 0 if there exists a path connecting X and Y. Let me write it symbolically. If there exists a path connecting X to Y. But I started from a space which is path connected. So there is always a path connecting X to Y. So X minus Y is equal to 0. Always, for any pair of points X and Y. I'm mod out by this relation no matter what X and Y are. So this is the set of points in X, modulo, all points are the same. X is equal to Y for every X and Y. So it's the same as saying that it's the space generated by a single point. Pick one point, your favorite point here, call it D for draw. I didn't know who to choose, so I chose myself, sorry. Okay, and then draw is the same as Nuz. Sorry, Nuz is here, because there is a path between us. So all points are just D, or all points are just N, but anyway, it's just one point, so it's just Z. Okay, that's all. Sorry, maybe I said it in too many words. Okay, maybe one more thing before before the next one more example. Okay. Oh no, sorry, it's still doing panoramas.
Mode. So this here is just a formal foundation.
Okay, so one last, well, I don't know if it's an example or a theorem, but anyway, here it is. So, I guess I'll call it a theorem. Why does this even exist? I hope you all know what is the direct sum of two vector spaces, right? So if you have a vector space U and a vector space V, you can form their direct sum, okay? If you have a map from U0 into, or from U1 into U0, and if you also have a map from V1 into V0, that defines the map from U1 plus V1 into U0 plus V0. Namely, you just apply the first map, alpha, to the first component, and the second map to the second component. And it's very easy to check that the kernel of that map, combined map alpha beta, is simply the direct sum of the kernel of alpha with the kernel of beta. Basically, if you have a pair of things and it goes to zero, it just means that the first one goes to zero and the second one goes to zero. So that's clear. Likewise, the image of alpha beta is the direct sum of the image of alpha with the image of beta. Namely, if something here is hit, it means that it was hit by alpha and it was hit by beta. Okay? Good. So now, suppose you have a topological space X, which is the disjoint union. So this is my notation. I think I'm the only one in the world who uses it. Disjoint, a union symbol with a dot in the middle means union where the intersections are equal to zero. So suppose you have X, which is the disjoint union of X sub K's. Okay? So basically, X looks like one piece, another piece, and since you really want, here's a third piece. This is X1, X2, X3. Then, what are the n-dimensional chains in X? So, what are chains? Chains are maps into X from a standard simplex. But if you map a standard simplex into a union, well, it can go either to here, or to here, or to here, but since these are disjoint, and since this is connected, these are the possibilities. So basically, now, but since I'm allowing linear combination of simplices, then a general linear combination is a linear combination of things here, plus a linear combination of things here, plus a linear combination of things here. So the n-dimensional simplex in X are simply the direct sum, k goes from 1 to n, of the n-dimensional simplices in each of the ingredients. Right? Basically, a simplex must fall in one of these spaces, and that's it. Okay? But then it follows that, okay, likewise, the boundary maps act independently on each component. So if you have a boundary of something here, it's here. The boundary of something here stays here, and so on. So we are exactly in the situation of above, and therefore the n-dimensional cycles of x are the direct sum of the n-dimensional cycles in the components of x, and likewise the n-dimensional boundaries in x. So that was the first claim, and now I'm doing the second claim. So the n-dimensional boundaries in x are the direct sum of the n-dimensional boundaries inside xk. And therefore, well, I guess here comes another little theorem in linear algebra. If you take a sum, almost trivial, if you take a sum and you mod it out by another sum, it's like doing it piece by piece. So the conclusion is the nth dimensional homology of x is equal, or more precisely, isomorphic to the direct sum k over k of the nth dimensional homology of xk. Okay? Now, we only know two things about homology so far. We know the homology of a point and the zeroth homology of anything. So, corollary, the nth dimensional homology of 7 points, of the topological space which is made of 7 points, is z to the power 7, so 7 times the homology of a single point, if n is equal to 0 and 0 otherwise. And the second fact that we know is that the zeroth homology of any topological space, any topological space, is the union of its direct, of its connected components. So the zeroth homology of any topological space is equal to z raised to the power the number of connected components of x. I guess, this n has nothing to do with this n. So this is simply a summation over components. And in fact, it didn't even have to be a finite sum. Everything makes sense if the sums are infinite just as well.
It's path connected, right?
What?
It's the path connected component,
right? Path connected, yes. Sorry. Path connected components. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay, so where are we? Well, we constructed Hn, but so far it's just a function. It maps topological spaces to abelian groups. I promised you more. I promised a functor. Okay? So now I need to tell you why Hn is a functor. Okay? So, you know, again, I can do these things slightly more efficiently, perhaps. But then I will not introduce notions that I will need later. So instead of doing it in one step, I'll do it in two steps. Okay? So instead of telling you that Hn is a functor, I will tell you that it is the composition of two functors. Okay. So, namely, so we have the category top of topological spaces, and then there is a category which I will call COM. And COM stands for, well, in a minute I will tell you what it is precisely, but it stands for complexes traditionally misspelled because COM stands for something else. Okay? And then there is a functor from COM into abelian groups. And what I will show you is that the map we have defined from top to abelian group decomposes into two maps. One is the map C, which in fact we have already defined, or maybe I should now call it C star, and or maybe C dot, okay? And the other map is, well, I'll soon tell you what COM is, but the other map is sort of basically just the algebra underlying HN. So I'll call it HN algebraic. Okay? And then, since this is a functor and that is a functor, it will follow that HN is a functor. Well, we didn't show it, but it's very easy to show that the composition of two functors is back again a functor. Okay, so now I need to make sense of everything. Well, top, you already know what it is. Abelian groups, you also know what it is. So I only need to tell you what COM is. So COM is the category whose objects are infinite chains of abelian groups with maps between them, just like the CN were. So the objects are called, well, they're denoted by a single letter A, but the single letter A really means an infinite chain. A0 maps to 0, and into it maps A1, and into it maps A2, and so on. Each of these AIs, where each AN is an abelian group, and the maps between them are group homomorphisms. So I should call this one delta 2, this one del 1, and actually, to be precise, this is the map del 2 of the object A. So if I really wanted to be precise, I would have to add some superscript to indicate which map is it, okay? So where these maps are homomorphisms, and delta squared is equal to 0. So now I've switched from being overly too precise to being imprecise. Del squared equals 0 just means that when you compose two of these maps, you always get 0. Okay? Now I have to tell you what are the morphisms. So I have to tell you what is a morphism from, So what are the morphisms between A and B? If A and B are complexes. So what do A and B look like? So A looks like A0 mapped into from A1, mapped into from A2, mapped into from A3, and so on. B looks like B3 mapping into B2, mapping into B1, mapping into B0, sorry, everything goes to 0 at the end. Okay? And a morphism between these two things will be a collection of maps, one in each degree, one in each dimension. So let's call them F3, F2, F1, F0, and so on, going this way, so that all these squares commute. So that going around each of these squares, it doesn't matter which way you go. Okay? So in other words, the morphism of a complex A to a complex B is the collection of all sequences of maps, Fk, going from Ak into Bk, such that this is the last time I will write it this way, I promise. So such that doing the, okay, so this is really boundary 2 of A, this is boundary 2 of B, so such that doing boundary K of the complex A, and then the map Fk minus 1 is the same as doing the map Fk and then the boundary, the kth boundary of B, and this should be true for every k. Okay? Again, I will never write a thing like that again. So basically, you just draw the picture and say that everything commutes. Okay. So now I want to claim that there is a functor from here to here and a functor from here to here. Okay? So first I want to tell you about the functor C dot going from topological spaces into complexes. So if I am to tell you about the functor, I need to tell you how it is defined on objects and then how it is defined on morphisms. So an object X goes to the complex, so such a thing is called a complex, it goes to the complex which we already wrote. So C0 of X goes to 0, come from C1 of X, comes from C2 of X, and so on. Okay? And here I have the second boundary map of X, and here I have the first boundary map of X, and so on. Now I also need to tell you what are the what does the functor do to morphisms? So if I have a morphism from F, what's a morphism in topological spaces? It's just a function. So if I have a function F from a topological space X to a topological space Y, well, I should be getting a morphism from the complex of X to the complex of Y. Okay, what is the complex of Y? Well, it's exactly the same type of creature. It's C2 of Y mapping into C1 of Y, mapping into C0 of Y, going into 0, and this was really an infinite sequence. It extends this way, to the left infinitely. And now I claim that I can construct a functor. So corresponding to F, I can construct a map from here to here, and a map from here to here, and a map from here to here, so that all of these squares commute. Well, I have to give names to these maps. The standard name, so since I called the functor C dot, the standard name will be C subdot of F. But I'm looking at the kth component, so this should be the second component. Okay? Typically, this is shortened to push forward using F. Likewise, this will simply be shortened to push forward using F, but strictly speaking, this is the push forward of two simplices, this is the push forward of one simplices, and so on. Anyway, how is this push forward map defined? So push forward should take a 2 simplex in X, or in general an n simplex in X, to an n simplex in Y. So I need to tell you what is F star of sigma if sigma belongs to Cn of X. So really, elements of Cn of x are linear combinations, but I'll take a generator, I'll take the base set. So what is sigma? Sigma is simply a map from the n-dimensional simplex into x. How do I make a, so if I have, well, okay, now let's turn into pictures. So if I have a triangle in x and I have a map into some space y, how do I, so what's a triangle in x? It's a map from a triangle into x. How do I make it into a triangle in y? I simply compose. So if the push forward of sigma via f will by definition be sigma followed by f. Sorry, I said many, many words, but at the end it's a triviality. Okay? Are you with me? Good. I suppose, well, okay. I need to take pictures and I need to tell you why. Why it's a functor. Okay, what do I need to show? I need to show several things, and all of them are trivial. So I need to show, for example, that these squares commute. So far I've defined the vertical maps, but I didn't tell you why these squares commute. So I have to start from some element sigma in here and take it both ways and show you that you get the same answer. It's kind of silly, let's do it anyway. But let's do it anyway. So suppose sigma it's just an exercise in memorizing the definitions. It's nothing more than that. So suppose sigma is an element of Cn of x, okay? I need to tell you what is sigma. First push it forward, then take the boundary. And I need to tell you what is sigma. First take the boundary and then push it forward. Okay? So push it forward will give you, it's sort of ridiculous, it will be sigma composed with f. Okay? And to this, this is a single simplex, to this I have to take the boundary. Well, how do you take the boundary of a simplex? It's the sum minus, sorry, it's a sum over I minus 1 to the I, that simplex composed with the face map of the standard simplex. So E0 up to En, EI omitted, and then do the simplex. So sigma composed with f. Okay. And what's that? So now I take sigma and apply to it the boundary map. So I get sum of minus 1 to the I E0 up to En with EI omitted followed by sigma, and all of this I need to compose, I need to push forward. So all of this I need to apply f star to. But how do you apply f star to anything? You compose it with f. So this is sum minus 1 to the I E0 EI hat EN composed with sigma, all of this composed with F. And this is exactly the same as that, because, well, at this point it's just composition of ordinary functions, and composition of functions is associative. Okay? So this is, okay, that's all. Okay. Okay, that's not all I need to show. I need to show, oh, in fact, I should have shown you, I mean, my definition of the category com was incomplete. I should have told you what is the identity, and I should have told you what is the composition of two morphisms in com. So let's go back and do that. So what's the identity? So if I have an going to an minus 1 going to an minus 2 in com, what's the identity map into another element of com? Well, the identity map will be just the chain of identity maps. So this will be the identity map. This is declared to be the identity map. Next, what is the composition of two more chain morphisms? So if I have an minus an goes to an minus 1 goes to an minus 2 and so on, and it maps into bn goes into bn minus 1 goes into bn minus 2, which by a sequence of maps f, and this maps goes to this one goes into cn minus 1 into cn minus 2, and again everything extends in both directions by a sequence of maps g, then what's the composition of this morphism with that morphism? Oh, come on. I really wasted your time. There is actually still something to check. Namely, a morphism from A to C is a chain of maps such that it commutes with the boundary maps. Okay? So if I know that F commutes with the boundary map and that F commutes with, and G commutes with the boundary map, I need to show that the composition commutes with the boundary map. So basically I need to show that going two steps down and to the right is the same as going to the right and then two steps down. But that's kind of clear, right? This is equal to that is equal to that. Okay? Okay, so now the definition of the category com is complete, but I still have to tell you why C lower star is a functor. So I need to tell you that it maps the identity to the identity. So I need to tell you that if you look at the identity map from X to X, then the functor C lower star will map it to C lower dot of X into C lower dot of X. Well, here you will have C, well, basically push forward using the identity map. And the claim is that push forward using the identity map is the identity map. But that's obvious. You just do nothing to every simplex. Okay? And the last thing to check, which is also obvious, I'm just stating what are the things that needs to be checked. So if you have x going to y going to z, and this is f and this is g, so you also have the composition f followed by g. So this will go to c of x going to c of y going to c of z. This is push forward by F, this is push forward by G. And what you need to check is that push forward using F followed by push forward using G is equal to, so this composition is equal to whatever you will get from here. So you compose F and G and then push forward. But again, that's obvious. If you have an object in X and you're pushing it to Z, it's clear that it doesn't matter if you push it in two steps or once. Again, I'm slightly informal, but it's obvious. Okay. So let me be immodest and give myself full credits for the left thing, and let's talk about the right thing. Again, you could think that I'm being silly, I'm being too pedantic, and I'm going through sort of silliness, but these definitions will be reused again and again later, so it makes sense to do them in some detail. So now I claim that there is a functor HN alg going from com to ab by. Okay? So first of all, I need to tell you how it acts on objects. So if I have an plus 1 going to an going to an minus 1, so basically I have a chain like this and it extends both ways, and this is an object of com, I have to tell you what is HN alg of what? Of that object, of A. So by definition, well, okay. Sorry, it's a chain with maps, and the maps have names, delta NA, delta N, this is delta N plus 1, this is boundary N, and so on. So the N thing will be exactly what you expect. The kernel of the nth boundary map in A modulo the image of the n plus first boundary map. Okay? And I suppose I have to tell you that this is contained in that. But I already said, did I say that? I hope that when I defined the complex, I said that the compositions have to be zero. Okay? The going two steps, del squared, yeah, I said it, del squared has to be zero. So since del squared is equal to zero, the image is contained in a kernel, so that makes sense. But now comes the interesting part, or little interesting part. Suppose I have a morphism from A to B. What does it mean in com? So this is a morphism F in com. What does it mean? It means that I have a chain, an plus 1 going to an going to an minus 1. From this point on, I will save myself writing the three dots. Okay? So at the next, so and I have a chain bn goes to b, bn plus 1 goes to bn minus 1, and again it's a chain like this, and now I'm not writing the three dots. And a morphism from the complex A to the complex B is a sequence of maps F, like this. Okay? Now I have to tell you how to map something in the homology here to the homology here. So I have to give you a map from Hn of the A complex to Hn of the B complex. Now, what's Hn of the A complex? It's the it's the kernel of del n A modulo the image of del n B, del n plus 1 A. What's the homology of the B complex? It's the kernel of del n B modulo the image of del n plus 1 b. I have to give you a map from here to here. How do you give a map from here to here? You give a map from here to here, and you verify that it maps this to zero. right? Because these things are declared to be zero here, so they better be mapped to zero here. Okay? This will be the first instance of a diagram chase. Very, very minor diagram chase. So I could write the proof, but that would be the wrong way to do it. The best way to do it is to do it on the picture. So suppose I have something in the homology of A. What does it mean? It means that it goes here, that it goes to zero here. So I have something here that goes to zero here. I have to map it to the homology of this. So I have to map it to something that goes to zero here. Well, I just map it. I just use F to find its image. And it will go to zero. It will go to zero here because going this way is the same as going that way. And that was zero. Okay? So I map, well, okay, basically, if you have an element A in here, you simply map it to FA, and since A was in the kernel, FA will be in the kernel here. Okay? So again, I take something here straight down to here, and it went to zero here because we started in the homology, and therefore its image here is zero because going that way is the same as going that way. Okay. But now I have to tell you that this is well-defined. So what does it mean to be well-defined in the homology? It means that a boundary should be mapped to a boundary. So suppose I have something here that actually came from here. If it came from here, I need to show that its image here is zero as an element of the homology here. So I need to show that it's the image of that thing here comes from here. But clearly it comes from here because you could have gone that way. Okay? So again, I could write it, but the best way to do these proofs is not to write them. You just have to know what you need. Or, well, I don't know. Okay. Well, there are lots of tiny other properties to check, like that the identity goes to the identity, compositions go to compositions. Everything is easy. And finally, the last thing to check is that, okay, so I mean, you know, maybe I'll give myself a half passing mark here because I didn't give full details. But anyway, the last thing to check is that the original homology factor, that the original homology thing that we defined was the composition of these two. And since each of these is a functor, this is a functor too. Okay? So just to summarize, we are done to this line, and the rest is to be done. This might be very, it is very abstract. I don't know how else to say it, but it's, well, that's what it is. Okay, so see some of you tomorrow.